Welcome back to the Knock On Sports, and joining me right now in studio is Brandon Schultz of the Seahawkers podcast. Brandon, how you doing today, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Not a problem. The Seattle Seahawks, and listen, ladies and gentlemen, this dude is decked out in Seahawks gear right now. I love the army green Seattle Seahawks sweatshirt, and he's got the hat on, so he's definitely ready to talk some Seahawks. But Brandon, I got to ask, where did you get that? Like the Army Seahawk sweatshirt.
Well, they come out with the salute to service gear every November.
Okay.
And I got this one last November. Being a member of the military Seahawkers, even though I was in the Navy, it feels a little bit weird wearing Army green, but it's appropriate being a member of the military Seahawkers group. And I enjoy the,
that's awesome. How long did you serve?
7 years.
7 years. And what was your ranking?
I was a journalist first class in the Navy, and actually the Navy just got rid of actual ratings, so I guess I should just say petty officer first class, because that's what the Navy's going by now.
Fair enough. Well, we're here with Brandon Schultz of the Seahawkers podcast. Brandon, let's go ahead and dig right into this. First, I wanted to ask you about your trip a couple of weeks ago to Seattle to go see that Seahawks 49ers game.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks back, going to see them take on the San Francisco 49ers, and that was a game, right, that we weren't quite sure which Seahawks team we were going to get, because they had the week one win over the Dolphins really close and then lost to the Rams on the road. Right. And we started to see the offensive line start to come together against not a great defensive line in the 49ers. But the Seahawks, clearly a team that likes to get up, play the 49ers. You saw them get out to a quick start. And that was the Seahawks team that now I think they've started to carry that over into this next week, into that win over the Jets. This is the Seahawks team that I think we, as Seahawks fans, were waiting to see since the season started.
Well, they've gotten better. They are now sitting at, I believe, 2-2 on the season, and they're about to enter their bye week as well.
2-2? No, 3-1.
We got the
win over the Jets. We're 3-1 now.
Wait.
Just the one loss to the Rams.
Don't
be taking wins away from us, Anthony.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about my team, and they're not even 2-2. They're 1-3. The Bucks are terrible.
You're splitting the difference between our two teams.
Well, you guys win all the time. Let me have one. I don't get to win that often. I sit there and I wonder, what does a winning football team feel like? Because I haven't felt it in a decade. We haven't even been to the playoffs since 2007, even though we had a winning season, and I think it was 2009, it's been terrible. So I apologize for trying to take wins from you, but I just want to know what it feels like, Brandon. I want to know what winning feels like.
It feels so good.
Well, the Seahawks beat the Jets this week, and they did it in a pretty good fashion. But tell me, the real question mark everybody was rolling into was that defensive front that the Jets have, and it's very good. And it looks like Pete Carroll in that offense did a very nice job countering it.
Well, and especially knowing that how the first-round draft pick, Jermaine Ifedi, been out since the start of the season. That was a guy that Seahawks fans were counting on. You know, the Seahawks only have two first-round draft picks on the entire team. One of them's Earl Thomas, the other one, Jermaine Ifedi. Those are the only two first-round draft picks. So to get Jermaine Ifedi back in at that right guard spot, it was something Seahawks fans were really looking forward to, and it made the world a difference too. Jamarcus Webb just has not been the type of caliber player that Jermaine Ifedi that we saw from him in the preseason, and you saw how important it was for the Seahawks to have that solid three guys in the front of the line. Justin Britt having a great season so far for the Seahawks, and that's weird to say as a Seahawks fan, because Justin Britt, he's the guy that we crushed week after week after week for the last 2-3 seasons, and now he's kind of the star of the offensive line, and you can hear it from hearing Coach Cable talk about Justin Britt and his attitude now. It much improved. It should be improved, because now he is the guy, and so we saw it as we were waiting to see how those guys would hold up. And that you saw, they gave Russell Wilson a pocket to step up into. And on a couple of different occasions, you saw him deliver downfield. And when his mobility's limited by having the ankle injury and the knee injury, that was really important to give him that opportunity to step up and make those throws.
Brandon, we had your co-host Adam Emmert on last week, and he kind of made the point that he would have liked to have seen maybe Russell Wilson sit this game, considering the fact that, you know, you guys probably would have been able to still handle Fitzpatrick, because he would just give him the ball to you anyway. But give me your thoughts. Do you really think that Russell Wilson should have sat?
Well, in hindsight, it's easier to say no now that he had one of his top 10 games in 78 games in Russell Wilson's career. That's including regular season, including playoffs. That was a top 10 game, and he did it on a couple of bum legs. Right. So in hindsight and knowing how that, because that was the big question, was how the offensive front was going to hold up against the Jets.
Right.
And because they did it, now in hindsight, I say, yes, absolutely, you start Russell Wilson. But it's just that the thought, that risk of the Jets and what they have on that defensive front. And you saw Russell Wilson get hit multiple times still. And every time you did that as a Seahawks fan, it kind of made you cringe a little bit. But a lot of the stuff Adam said last week, as far as Fitzpatrick coming through, throwing interceptions, the defense got three interceptions. I think that's exactly what he called, right?
Yeah, I think he did. You're absolutely right. He did. And the defense played well. Fitzpatrick, once again, making New York Jets fans start to really wonder about all that money that he got signed for. But again, let's go to that defense, too, because they have been playing much better, even though they've been playing great all season. They haven't given up that many points to begin with. But just the secondary is looking good. They're getting pressure on the quarterback. And I always thought maybe the linebacking core was probably one of the weaker spots. If you had to pick the weak spot on this defense, which is not very much, but the linebacker's been playing well, too.
They have, and K.J. Wright was the first guy to get to the quarterback for the Seahawks to get a sack. Bobby Wagner, you saw him blitz and get a sack. And then you had Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett each combined for sacks, too. So a lot of pressure on Fitzpatrick early on. That what helped lead them to get those interceptions late in the game, you know, on Sherman right after he gets called on what looked like a bogus defensive pass interference penalty. Right now, I know you're not a Seahawks fan, so when you saw that, did you think, oh yeah, that was, it looked like Brandon Marshall pushed him off, and on the very next play he comes back and he gets the interception. It was one of my favorite moments of the game.
No, I absolutely agree, because you're pass interference is so ticky-tack now. And I mean, even though they are doing a better job calling it on the offensive players, because I think we've seen an increase in that, but I absolutely agree with you. I really was kind of shocked that they made that call. But, you know, what are you going to do with the NFL these days? They don't even know what a catch is.
Right.
but Brandon, let's get to another player that played extremely well, and that is Jimmy Graham. And Jimmy Graham has really been a force here these last couple of weeks, even going back as far as that Rams game.
Well, and this is the Jimmy Graham that we started to see come on kind of toward the end of last season, right before he got hurt in that Steelers game. And a lot of Seahawks fans remember back to that point of the season. That was really the time of the season where he and Russell Wilson were really starting to look like they were starting to click. And then you had the first two games this season, you kind of had some of those feelings back toward that first half of last season of whether or not the Seahawks offense, if they were going to get Jimmy Graham involved the way that we saw him involved when he was back with the Saints. And people starting to kind of question whether or not that Max Unger for Jimmy Graham trade was going to be worth it. And everybody who thought that in the past now, after seeing the last two games, they absolutely believe of what Jimmy Graham can do. Because he had the one-handed catch right on the sideline. He had Russell Wilson just the ability. Now, Russell, it looks like he has that ability to trust it when he throws it up to Graham, that Graham's going to come down with the ball. Because you saw it in the San Francisco game, too, with the offside, the defense jumping off sides. Absolutely. Russell Wilson just throwing it up there toward the middle of the field. And Graham able to pull it in, taking it away from Eric Reed, I think it was, for the 49ers, and getting the reception. So they're starting to develop, I think, a little more chemistry than we saw at the beginning of last season.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I wish you all could be here in studio to see the smile on Brandon's face. This dude is like literally geeking out. I'd be him right now if Tampa Bay was 3-1, to be completely honest, even though he's got his Seahawks jacket on. And well, I'm still repping the Bucks red here, but it's getting a little interesting as the Bucks sit 1-3. But once again, Brandon from the Seahawkers podcast, you do an outstanding job, my friend, and I've really enjoyed what you guys have brought to the table, you and Adam. I've listened to your podcast. You guys do an outstanding job. But continuing on, I got to get your thoughts. Once again, I want to make you smile again and laugh here, but that thought on the Fitzpatrick fumble for a touchdown, did you think that was a fumble? What was your initial thoughts when you saw that play?
My initial thoughts were that the defense, they have to keep playing. They can't just allow a guy to run all the way into the end zone without, you know, at least contesting it. But then as I'm sitting there and bummed about the fact that the Jets scored a touchdown, I hear Earl Thomas, as the ref comes on and turns on his mic, I hear Earl Thomas yell and it comes across the TV, but his arm is going forward. I couldn't even be mad then.
They were It's to the point now where even defensive players are arguing for that, you know, arm going forward.
And I tried to argue this. How does the ball not go? The ball was going forward. How do the physics work to where the ball goes forward and yet his arm stops before it goes forward? And looking at the replay, I agree with the call, but I just mentally, I can't get it through my mind.
First of all, let me go ahead and take you back. And this probably wasn't a game you were even watching 2 years ago because it featured a 2-14 team. Because I sat in your exact same boat 2 years ago. The Bucks and the Panthers are playing. I think it's towards the end of the year. Thank the Lord. And Josh McCown gets hit. Well, the ball goes like 15 yards wild up into the air because he got hit. Well, so Carolina Panther falls on it and returns it. And I'm just like, wait a minute, that's a forward pass. That's not a fumble.
Right.
The referees look back at it and they go, yeah, that was a fumble. So that's exactly my thought. How can that be a fumble if the ball went beyond the line of scrimmage 15 yards? So believe me, I'm still trying to figure that rule out to this day. Like, how is the ball moving forward, but the arm wasn't moving forward? I don't know. Can you riddle that one for me?
I can't. There's so many wacky calls that we see from officials. And what was the game this last week where Duke Johnson of the Browns, fumbles the ball and almost immediately picks it back up. And two Redskins players are on the ground, like grabbing at each other's arms. And the refs think that they're grabbing for a football. Meanwhile, Duke Johnson is up out of the pile holding onto the ball, and they call it Washington football. And they go back and look at the replay and go, well, there wasn't inconclusive evidence, so we call it on the field.
Oh, see, that's the NFL for you. You just got to love it. While they want to, you know, increase, I don't even, you know what? I'm speechless because even when I saw that, I was literally dumbfounded, and I think we're going to continue this angry conversation for another 30 minutes or 45 minutes about refereeing, but let's
get back to actual football.
Because we can complain about the refs all day.
Now, Anthony, you got the Falcons were the one team that the Bucs have been able to beat. And this is who the Seahawks have coming after the bye. That now the Falcons, they go and they play the Broncos and then they come and they play the Seahawks. So back to back tough weeks. But the Bucs, probably the toughest defense that they faced so far, and that was the one team they lost to.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're looking at Tampa Bay, and go ahead and just toss whatever you saw week one. That's pretty much what I've done.
Oh, well, shoot.
Tossing it out. But listen, I'll be honest with you, Atlanta's a dangerous team. And obviously, I think they're also when they, you know, we'll see what happens if they're a for real team.
Are they, though?
That's the key, because we saw them go 6-0 last year, and then they fizzed out. But this week, they take on the Denver Broncos, and I'll be honest with you. Tampa Bay, had they not created their own problems, which they seem to do every week, with two interceptions to Aqib Talib, Matt Ryan, I don't think will do that, or if he does, he'll be able to rebound from it. Plus, they'll have a running game. So I think for Atlanta, I think they have a real shot here to play well against Denver, because if you got a running game that can get between the tackles on that defense, then things open up in the offense. Plus, let's face it, Atlanta Falcons have probably the most dominant wide receiver, at least this week, in Julio Jones, because I never would have thought I would have seen Julio Jones with 300 receiving yards. Thank you, by the way, on my fantasy team.
Well, and that's the question is, but we've seen so many times in the past, right, when superior offenses come up against superior defenses, right? Last year, Carolina Panthers, great offense, came up against the Broncos in the Super Bowl, got shut down. A couple years back when the Seahawks took on the Broncos, the Broncos had an historic offense coming into that year, shut down by the defense, the Seahawks defense in the Super Bowl. So that's why I'm not quite buying it when it comes to Atlanta at this point. But I'm willing to wait 1 week before I say that the Seahawks are going to beat them coming off the bye. I'm willing to wait and see how they do against the Broncos defense.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think the key for the Atlanta Falcons right now is the fact that they are playing better defense than what we saw week one. And that's going to be the key, too, because while the Atlanta offense, while they're able to run the football with both Freeman and Coleman and be able to throw it as well, I really like the fact that their defense is really starting to come along. And this kind of leads into my next question for you, Brandon, because we talk about the Seahawks defense. We talk about the numerous coordinators that they've had throughout the past couple of years, and they've received head coaching jobs. Gus Bradley was the first, then Dan Quinn. Well, Gus Bradley might be the first one to get chopped after this year with Jacksonville. And then Dan, well, we're starting to finally see some dividends pay off for the Falcons right now. We will see later in the year. But is it more the fact that the Seahawks defense just has that much talent and it doesn't matter who's calling defensive plays? Or what is it exactly with all these defensive coordinators that have not been able to duplicate the Seahawks defense?
it's Pete Carroll's defense, and that's really what it comes down to. Pete Carroll is the this is the defense that he's built, and that he wants to play. And so you see the consistency carry over. Now you see little tweaks, right? Because you know Dan Quinn, a much more defensive line oriented type player, he was much more about putting pressure on quarterbacks with the defensive line. Gus Bradley maybe not so much. And now Chris Richard, he was a cornerback for the Seahawks back in the early 2000s, and actually drafted by Mike Holmgren. And now you start to see some of the creativity maybe he has on the secondary side. So each guy has their own little tweaks that they'll put in, but this really is Pete Carroll's defense.
We're here with Brandon Schultz of the Seahawkers podcast. Brandon, unfortunately, we've run out of time. I know we can go on for a lot longer, but one, how can they find you on all the social media, and how can they follow all your guys' content?
Well, if you want to find us, you can go to SeahawkersPodcast.com. If you want to download our app on your iPhone, SeahawkersPodcast.com/iOS or SeahawkersPodcast.com/Android, and you can listen to the show that way. Plenty of ways to find us, and we're all about talking Seahawks football.
I can't wait. You know, in a couple of weeks, I don't even know what, it may not even matter because the Bucks will be that bad and we'll be picking again from the top 10. But I can't wait to talk Seahawks-Bucks here in a couple of weeks. Hopefully my team will be able to turn around and it'll be a game down in Tampa. But don't worry, folks. We got Brandon Schultz. He'll be with us throughout the football season to talk Seahawks football. And I know, Brandon, you guys are going to have a bye this week. So what are you guys going to do? What is the Seahawkers podcast going to do on the bye week?
Well, tomorrow's show will be out, and we'll be breaking down the matchup with the Jets. A lot of Russell Wilson love this weekend, obviously, after his great game, his great performance against the Jets. We're going to be talking, you know, Tanner McAvoy had his first touchdown for the team, and just talking about everything that went in, and just briefly previewing the Falcons matchup, but we're going to be getting into that next week's show.
Brandon Schultz of the Seahawkers podcast. Brandon, thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to having you on again soon.
Thanks, Anthony.